In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. We've been talking and chanting and meditating a lot in this season on repentance. And today, we have a very wonderful saint that we're commemorating, Mary of Egypt, who is probably one of the most famous examples of repentance in the church. But today, I think the challenge that I'd like to think about is, how do we trust in God's forgiveness when we seek it? Sometimes it's not so easy to do that. Sometimes after we show a desire to change, sometimes after our tears and our apologies and our attempts to reconcile, and after we participate in the sacrament of holy confession, we sometimes still have these challenges that weigh us down or make us feel like we're not forgiven. I went to confession, but my, you know, this relative or this friend that I did this such and such to, or hurt them or disappointed them, even though I apologized and I went to confession, they're still upset with me. How do I have the courage to keep doing what I need to do? There was a man that I read about who had many demons in life, addiction, infidelity, rage, and he did a lot of damage to his family because of getting lost in so entangled in these sins. He went to live in a different place to begin his life of repentance. And as he reflects on that, he says that he has made improvements in his relationships. He has learned to say, "Forgive me." He's learned to start telling the truth, which was something that he wasn't able to do before. And he says that he's working on his relationship with his daughters, and he still experiences a lot of rejection and a lot of mistrust. But he says, "I don't give up." See how this heartbreaking situation where we might still be reminded of the consequences of our sins well after we've been forgiven by God. But we have to trust that this is not directly identified with me, that I've been forgiven and now I can do something new. And we have, and how can, so, and we really, today's gospel reading says, that the Lord said to the disciples, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit upon him and scourge him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." So our Lord, who voluntarily, as Father Chris said on Friday, didn't have to do this, but he voluntarily went to his passion, allowed sin to be committed to him, and he rose on the third day. How can we proclaim this in our life of repentance? We'll hear it in just 2 weeks from today in St. John Chrysostom's wonderful sermon, forgiveness has dawned from the tomb. How can we, despite our sinfulness, overcome that temptation to say, well, I'm not really forgiven? We can't do that. So I wanted to read also you something that Saint Mary of Egypt said, because of course she was entangled in many, many sins, and the day came where she wanted to go into the church on the veneration of the cross, which was a couple of weeks ago that we celebrated, and she said she just couldn't go in, that there was some kind of force that blocked her. And this brought the tears, but she saw the icon of the Mother of God, and she says to her in this prayer, as soon as I have seen the tree of the cross, I will renounce the world and its temptations, and will go wherever you will lead me. Thus I spoke, and as if acquiring some hope in firm faith, and feeling some confidence in the mercy of the Mother of God, I left the place where I stood praying, and I went again and mingled with the crowd that was pushing its way into the temple, and no one seemed to thwart me. No one hindered my entering, that even before she began the real work of repentance, she started to get confidence. No, I don't throw myself away. I am not totally hopeless. I have confidence. And this gave her that first step into the church. And she went into the desert where she would live out her life in repentance. And we can't, and she tells us that terrible memories of her sins were still tempting her. However, she stayed faithful, and she gave a full confession to Saint Zosimas, who ultimately gave her the most precious body and blood of our Lord. And she asked him not to share her story of repentance until after her repose. But I think that this is a real gift, to know that God doesn't throw us away. And I went to a talk on repentance in New York, and the speaker used an analogy with the Hudson River, which goes through mostly New York. And around 1960, the Hudson River was called a dead river. So it was so toxic that nothing could live in it, and people were almost encouraged to just use it as a dump. You know, it's just so poisonous that just throw your garbage. You know, and of course, if we were to look at our souls like the people started looking at the Hudson River, you know, then who cares? That's that temptation to just say, well, I'll just forget about it all. Just throw another tire in the Hudson. And little by little, people said, well, this is a magnificent river and a magnificent valley, and it's unacceptable to just perpetuate this disregard for the life in our surroundings. And so it's gotten better. It's gotten better. And this is what we need to do. We need to get better. And we need to trust that God forgives. So Saint Isaiah the Salutary has also this wonderful saying. He says, be attentive to yourself so that nothing destructive can separate you from the love of God? Why would we say God doesn't love me? I mean, how dare we say that? Guard your heart and do not grow listless and say, how shall I guard it since I am a sinner? For when a man abandons his sins and returns to God, his repentance regenerates him and renews him entirely. So we can't think of temptations as things that make us ashamed. Jesus was tempted, and he immediately turned his thoughts to God. Saint Mary of Egypt, during her life of repentance, felt tormented by the temptations that continued. However, she had the faith that this, and she had confidence, now this is my steps. These are what I have to do to return to God. That we don't give up and think that we're not forgiven. But the devil would like us to think that we're not forgiven, so that, as we said with the Hudson River, just keep throwing, you know, the poison. And when we have this faith that God can transform us, then we have some hope when people do wrong to us, that we can pray for them the way the Lord did on the cross. It doesn't mean that we have no boundaries. It means that we make room for them in our hearts, in our prayer life. So how can we trust that this resurrection that the Lord has told us about in today's gospel, our works and our life, and in the epistle of St. Paul today, he says that we remove from our conscience works that are dead so that we can serve the living God. All right, the Hudson River is no longer a dead river because we said it's not acceptable to just give up. If the centurion at the cross, that he gives me chills every year. What a great hope in the resurrection the centurion showed. Because when the Lord breathed his last, the centurion said, truly this was a righteous man. Truly this was the Son of God. If he didn't believe in the resurrection, he would have said, well, I guess that's that. Oh, well. Too bad. And if he didn't believe in the resurrection, we wouldn't be calling him Saint Longinos today. On October 16th, the church commemorates him as Saint Longinos, the centurion, who was martyred for his faith. This is a true belief in the resurrection, because he didn't say, well, I'm the one who helped put him on the cross. Physically. So if I repent, maybe people will think I'm a hypocrite. No, he gave his life to Christ. What a great trust in forgiveness that he was able to say for all of us to hear that he was wrong and Christ was right, and that he's the Son of God. And that moment at the cross was not the end of the story, but a beginning. So may every day be a beautiful beginning with the help of God. And so we can say with the psalmist, now I have made a beginning. This is the change of the right hand of the Most High. To the Most Holy Trinity be all glory, honor, and worship, now and forever and unto ages of ages.